Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get Dr. Graham's brand new book called Reignite. But first, here's his message, The Promise of Guidance.
Take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, two verses that I have known since my youth. As a matter of fact, these verses hung in my room as a young student in high school. I looked at them every day, and rarely does a day go by that I don't think of these verses and the truth of God's guidance, specifically to know that when we trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not unto our own understanding, when in all our ways we acknowledge Him, and the Living Bible puts it, when we seek God's will, when we seek to do God's will, when in all our ways we acknowledge Him, He will direct our paths. And when it says He will direct our paths, it means that He will be the pathfinder. He will lead the way and He will open the doors. He will clear a path. Yes, God guides. And yes, God still guides. And yes, God is guiding you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can imagine a true follower, a bona fide believer in Christ, having no interest in the will of God. For you see, the very essence of what it means to be a Christ follower is to know and to do His will, to obey Him in all things, and to seek to do what He wants us to do. Now, there are many choices in life, and we have more choices in our time than in any other time previous. Just go to a grocery store. I mean, years ago you could get cornflakes, and now, you know, there are 50 zillion kinds of cornflakes and cereals. And on I could go, all the choices that we have in our times. But there are choices that, of course, matter and change the course of our lives. And I'm not talking about the big decisions. Those are vital. Most of us have markers and momentous occasions in our lives when we made big decisions. Hopefully within the will of God. Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to go to school? Where am I going to work? Where are we going to live? Hope you pray about all those big decisions. But the will of God is for every day and for everyone. Not only for ministers and missionaries, but homemakers and business people and mechanics and carpenters and athletes or students. The will of God is for all of us. And it should be the pursuit, the passion, the pleasure of our lives to know and to do the will of God. I'm often asked, what advice would you give to young people today? And it's always to find, follow, fulfill the will of God for your life. Put Christ first in your life and spend your days following Him. That's my advice to everyone. That's certainly the counsel of the Word of God. And success, it has been said, is the progressive realization of the will of God in our lives. As day after day, in our decision making, in the choices that we make and we keep, we surrender our lives to the Lord, His Word and His Spirit lead us, and we find ourselves in the middle of the will of God. And hear a voice, as the Scripture says, behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it. Jesus even taught us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a daily prayer. It's a daily plea for the believer. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but in the light. We're to walk in the light of Christ. The Bible says God will continually guide us. I could give you promise after promise regarding the will of God, the guidance of God in our lives. He will lead us. God still leads His dear children along. The steps of a good man, Psalm 37, 23. The steps of a good man or a good woman are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. Not only our steps, but someone said our stops are ordered by the Lord. Our lives are orchestrated by the Lord. And there is one sense in which we don't find the will of God. So many people want to talk about finding the will of God. But rather, the will of God finds us when we practice this promise to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, to lean not unto our own understanding, to acknowledge Him and His will in all our ways. He will direct our path. The will of God finds us. We find ourselves in the middle of His plan and His purpose for our lives when we seek Him, when we surrender our lives to Him. And if you want to know the will of God, that's where it begins, and in some ways, that's where it ends. It's this surrender principle. Lord, I give my life to You. When I was a high school student, I grew up in a Christian home and family, but I began to sense that God was calling me to do His will by becoming a preacher and a minister. And I was playing high school baseball at the time and loved baseball and wanted to play baseball as long as I could. And I remember going out to our high school field after church on a Sunday night in East Fort Worth, Eastern Hills High School. And I went out to my position, second base, and the stars were twinkling on a summer night. And I remember just getting down on my knees at that place. It became an altar of surrender of my life to the Lord. And I said, Lord, Your will. Sort of like that fellow who prayed, Lord, Your will, anywhere, anytime, any cost. Bobby Richardson, the great New York Yankee second baseman, stood up at an FCA banquet one time and simply prayed to close it. It was a short prayer. Lord, Your will. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. I prayed a prayer of surrender to say, Lord, I'm Yours. About that time, the coach from Baylor University contacted us about, I was a junior in high school about this time, about coming down to Baylor and playing baseball. Well, I was excited about that. That's our biggest Baptist school at that time in the world. And Dutch Schrader was the coach. And I thought, wonderful, I can go to Baylor. I can be a ministerial student at Baylor, prepare to preach and play ball as long as I can. And so Dutch had us down, my family and I, Tom and Imogene. We went down to Waco and had a great lunch at Leslie's Chicken Shack. That was high cotton and enjoyed that. And he said, I want you to come to Baylor. We want you to play here. And I said, well, great. I sign me up. Went back home, play. He said, well, after your senior year, we'll come and we'll make it official. And I said, great. So played my senior year. And anybody else that may have come along to say, we'd like for you to play baseball for us, I said, no, I'm committed. I'm going to go to Baylor. Only problem is, after my senior year, no Dutch Schrader. He never showed up. Now, a lot of times today, I understand that student athletes may kind of promote their own films and tapes. And you kind of get aggressive. And boy, we would have never thought of doing such a thing. I mean, picking up the phone and calling a coach and say, hey, my kid, Tom would have never done that to begin with. And so we just waited and waited and nothing happened. It's 1st of June. I don't have a place to go play baseball. And frankly, my parents couldn't afford to send me to school. So my pastor must have been prompted by God's Spirit, said to me, Jack, I want you to get in the car with me and I want to take a trip out to Hardin-Simmons University. And that's my school. I think you'll like it. I got a baseball program. Maybe you can play for them. So we got in Brother Swank's 1968 LTD Ford, ugly green looking thing. And we went out to Abilene. And I loved it immediately. Felt at home there. Small Baptist school there in Abilene, Texas. And they gave me a tryout and gave me a scholarship such that it was more work study than scholarship. However, I don't know what I was supposed to do on the work thing. I turned on the sprinklers a time or two. But anyway, mainly I played baseball. And God is my witness, when we got back from that trip where I committed to play and to go to Hardin-Simmons, there was a letter the next day in my mailbox from Dutch Schrader, the Baylor coach. Said, Jack, hey, I'm sorry I hadn't been down to recruit you. I've been behind. My daughter's had spinal meningitis. I hadn't recruited anybody, but we still want you to come. What about it? Well, there was something in me that knew, no, I'm supposed to be out there in Abilene. And so I kind of gave up a dream for God's plan. The Bible says, man orders his steps or plans his way, but God orders his steps. And I had some plans, but God changed those plans and gave me a better plan. And I tell you, I had opportunities there that I would have never had at the other place because I preached all over West Texas. I became kind of a student evangelist all over. I preached at ever hog calling and cattle rustling all over West Texas, little churches. We pastored our first church, the Eastside Baptist Church across Plains on the weekend. When we went there, the average attendance was 13. When we left, it was 31. We more than doubled that church, baby. It was exciting. And I was just as excited in those days about the 30-something that came that as I am about however many we have here today. Those were exciting days. And God helped me to cut my teeth in preaching. And I got to play 4 years of varsity baseball. And I met the love and the life of my soul, and that is Deb. Now, I managed to get myself elected sophomore class president so that I could be there for freshman orientation to check out all the freshman girls that came in behind me. And I found Deb. And we got married. But you know, I think, what if Dutch Schrader's daughter didn't have spinal meningitis? And I went the other place, the other way. Everything in my life would have been different. The main things in my life certainly would have been different. Starting with who I would end up married. I wouldn't have met Deb. I wouldn't have married her. She wouldn't have married me. All of our kids would look different. And they wouldn't be nearly as beautiful, I tell you that. And who knows about, you know, my calling, my ministry preparation. All I know is that God superintends, sovereignly directs our lives in ways that we cannot know or see at the time. And the whole point that I'm driving at us today is that the will of God finds us if we are willing to surrender to the Lord. And to seek Him and to put Him first in our lives. Have you done that?
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and his message, The Promise of Guidance. Pastor, this month we have a special gift for our listeners who give a gift to PowerPoint. It's your brand new book called Reignite. Can you tell us about this great resource?
Everyone struggles in their faith from time to time. And in all my years of ministry, I've seen friend after friend and even pastor after pastor experience what many would call a dark night of the soul. I've actually been through it myself. So what do we do when times like these hit and it feels like the flame of our faith is burning low? My brand new book, Reignite, is a personal work from my heart that shares exactly what that experience was like for me and how God reached down and renewed my faith in one of the most difficult times of my life, frankly. I want to send you a copy of Reignite to thank you for your financial support this month so that we can continue to proclaim the hope of Christ through PowerPoint. So be sure and request your copy when you give your best gift today. Thank you for your partnership, for your prayers, and remember that whatever your circumstances may be, you may experience God's presence, His peace, and the hope of His promises every single day.
Call today and get Reignite as our thank you for your gift. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text the word PowerPoint to 313131. That's PowerPoint to 313131. Now let's get back to today's message, The Promise of Guidance.
The will of God is not so much a roadmap as it is, first and foremost, a relationship. Is following Jesus. And as we follow Christ, as we surrender our lives to Him, to say, Lord, I'm yours. My life is no longer my own. You have me, lock, stock, and barrel. I sell out wall to wall. You truly are first in my life. And who is this one that we trust? We have a Father who is over all things, controlling all things. We have the Savior who is walking beside us and living in us. We have the Spirit within us, impressing us inwardly. And we ought to thank God that He is guiding us. How foolish it is to live our own way. And that's why the scripture there says in Proverbs 3:5, don't lean on your own understanding. Trust God with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Now, I got to tell you, that's the hardest part for me. You know, through the years, the trust part, the faith part has been, you know, a strong thing in my life. But typically what I do, and don't sit there looking so pious, typically what you do, is we take back the things that we have entrusted to the Lord, and especially when they get tough and God isn't moving as quickly as we want Him to move, we start trying to fix things on our own, lighting our own fires and making a mess of things, knocking things over. We start trying to figure things out and do it on our own and look to the wisdom of the world rather than waiting on God and His wisdom for our lives. And we run through stop signs and yield signs and all kinds of intersections because we're not willing to lean on the Lord and look to the Lord and listen to the Lord until He moves. You can make a lot of bad choices in your life by leaning on your own understanding. Now, it doesn't say don't have understanding. In fact, Paul said in the letter to the Ephesians, understand what the will of the Lord is. But our human understanding is so limited. And so often we want to run ahead of God. You know, you want to get married, let's say. And rather than waiting on that person of God's choice, you run ahead and make a terrible mistake because you tried to figure out things on your own. You made a list of the kind of person you wanted and you forgot some of the main things of quality and character and Christian commitment, and you had everything but the right thing. And you walked out of the will of God because you tried to figure it on your own. Or maybe God's got you in some kind of a holding pattern in your life. Ever been in one of those? I mean, you're thinking, maybe you're someone, you're saying, man, I've lost my job. Talk to me about this will of God. I have mortgages to pay. I've lost my retirement. So I got to fix something. I got to do something. And I know it's difficult. And certainly we're to trust God and keep our powder dry. Don't just sit around and, you know, wait for the will of God to hit you. But at the same time, don't run ahead of God. Don't make huge mistakes just doing something if that something is not in the will of God for your life. God's best, God's choice will come to those who lean into Him, who lean on Him and trust in Him and know that in His own good time, He will come through. He will make a way when there seems to be no way. Just don't try to fix it yourself or figure it out on your own. That's real wisdom. That's the wisdom of God. That's the surrender principle. And as I said, you can talk about all the other formulas. Everybody comes up with secrets and steps on the will of God. But as far as I'm concerned, you make that full surrender to God. You begin to walk in obedience to God. Look, don't say, Lord, show me your will and I'll think about whether I'm going to do it or not. No, here's my life, Lord. Don't ask the will of God. Don't ask for the will of God in your life unless you're willing to do it. God will not take us one step further than the measure of His obedience, our obedience to Him. You say, well, I don't know if I'm willing. Well, be willing to be willing. God will take that and shape you up with that. Be willing to be willing and say, Lord, here's my life. I'm a living sacrifice. And keep crawling up on the altar every day. Again, not just one big explosive emotional surrender, but surrendering your life each step of the way, each step of the way, each day to the Lord. That's the surrender principle. I could talk to you a long time about the scriptural principle. So much of God's guidance is in this book. God's guidebook for life. Precepts, commandments, principles as to how to live, promises upon which to live. Do you have a quiet time where you open God's Word and allow His truth to penetrate your mind, His scripture to saturate your soul that you might form godly wisdom in your mind? I mean, we're listening to the world. The world just bombards us with messages and choices and choices. But God has given us His Word to give us wisdom so that when it comes time to make choices, we will make good decisions, the right decision. Sometimes people come up to me and other ministers and say, what about this? What about this will in my life? God's will in my life. How can I know God's will? And there's a question. Of course, we're sensitive to that, and we always want to respond to that and answer the. But every now and then, I may say something like, have you read God's Word? Have you prayed about this? And sometimes a person will say, well, really not that much. And I'm thinking, and sometimes I say, why on earth would you ask me what you're supposed to do before you ask God? Before you ask God to guide you in His Word. And yes, there are specific words that God will give you, and certainly general principles and wisdom for your life. That's what Proverbs is about. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is stuck right in the at the heart of this wisdom book. And this is God's wisdom for life. You listen to the wisdom of the world. If everything you, decision you make is filtered by the wisdom of the world, you're gonna live confused and in chaos. But you listen to God and His Word, you'll have clear direction for life. That's the scriptural principle. The great Presbyterian pastor Barnhouse once said that 99% of the will of God's above the neck. And by that he means it is our sanctified intellect. It is the wisdom of God as our mind is renewed that allows us to make good decisions and to live our lives fulfilling His purpose and plan. There's the Spirit principle. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is in us to give us inward impressions, and all of those inward impressions that the Holy Spirit will always be in concert with the Word of God. The Word of God, the Spirit of God are connected. God's Spirit will never tell you to do something that His Word doesn't lead you to do. You know, somebody says, well, the Lord told me to divorce my wife and marry this other person at my office. No. Not going to happen. You can't break God's commandments and expect to do God's will. So, The Word of God will always govern and guide. He is the Spirit of truth. And oh, by the way, the Spirit of God will not shout at you. He whispers in the still small voice. So you got to slow down long enough to think and to pray. Again, do you have a quiet time? A time when you get alone to listen to God and allow God to speak to you? Don't expect much guidance in your life if you're unwilling to surrender your life, to listen to God and His Word, and to pray and ask Him, and to seek and know to do His will. The Spirit will lead you. Objectively, there's the Word. Subjectively, inwardly, the Spirit. And then there's the serenity principle. By that I mean, when you make a decision, God's peace will attend your decision. God's peace will guide and govern you. That's what the Scripture says. And in fact, let me show you when your life is governed and guided by God and His Spirit, notice what happens. There is peace, verse 23 of chapter 3. There is the peace of courage. Then you will walk in your way securely and your foot will not stumble. There is the peace of contentment. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. And there's the peace of confidence. That's verses 25 and 26. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence. That's peace. Confidence, courage, contentment. Knowing that you're doing what God wants you to do. When it's all said and done, you hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. You will know that you've spent your life in the very best way possible. The only way to live, that is to live squarely centered in the will of God.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, the promise of guidance. Whatever you're facing today, how would you like to experience God's presence, His peace, and the hope of His promise in a new and refreshing way? You can, and we want to show you how by sending you Dr. Graham's brand new book, Reignite. Discover how God can renew your strength, lift your spirit, and fan your faith into a fire that lights up the world. Reignite is our way to thank you for your financial support to help proclaim the hope of Christ to more people through PowerPoint. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. Call 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website, again, is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
In Romans 12, the Apostle Paul tells us, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. One way I like to summarize this verse is by saying presentation, presenting your body as a living sacrifice, plus transformation, being transformed by the renewal of your mind, equals revelation. That is, you discern the perfect, pure, good, and acceptable will of God. Presenting your body as a living sacrifice means you surrender your life to Christ. And that's not just a one-time thing. The problem with being a living sacrifice is that so often we crawl off the altar. So what I need to do, what you need to do, is to continually crawl back on the altar and give your life unconditionally to Him. Now, today perhaps you admit that you've crawled off the altar of surrender. Maybe there's a situation in your life that's caused you to want to take control back. Maybe it's your finances. They're not shaping up as quickly as you'd like. Maybe you're tired of waiting for that Mr. or Mrs. Right. Maybe your child isn't meeting your expectations like you had hoped. Whatever it is that may be causing you to mistrust God and want to take control, I hope today that you'll crawl back on the altar and give Him control of your life again. I pray that you'll make Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 your goal, that you will trust in the Lord with all your heart, that you won't lean on your own understanding, and that in all your ways you will acknowledge Him, that is, put Him first, all the while trusting that He will clear the path. He will make your path straight. God's best comes to those who lean on Him, who listen to Him, who long for Him, and know that in His own good time, God will come through. He will make a way even if there seems to be no way. So don't try to fix it for yourself or figure it out on your own. This is the surrender of your life to Jesus and expecting Him to come through in His own time, in His own way, for your good and His glory.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's powerful new book, Reignite, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. Join Dr. Graham again next time when he brings a message about how no problem is too big for God's grace. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.